This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket, theticketfm.com. Also, Carriker Chronicles on YouTube and carrikerchronicles.com. I have not promoted this enough. So, Jay, keep track. I want people to send questions, thoughts, comments, concerns, otherwise into the text line. Can you remind them what the number is real quick?
402-464-5685. Sauter Heyman Jewelers text line.
All right. I want to be more interactive with the text line once again. Was doing a great job. Then the season hit. You got so much to talk about, but the fans are the most important thing that will never, ever change. But now I want to bring on Nebraska legend, a two-time national champ, a man who went from walking on to the University of Nebraska to being one of the first people to benefit from working his butt off in the weight room, learning from the master, Boyd Epley. All right, he was a part of the national championship teams in 70 and 71, started for the Huskers, former offensive guard, Mr. Mike Red Baron. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, Adam?
Dude, I'm glorious. All right, couple of things real quick, right out the gate. Mr. Former offensive lineman, what have you seen from our offensive line so far this year? What's the good and what needs to be improved on?
Well, I think they've improved from last year and, of course, the year before. The run game could be a little better, but they seem to be able to protect the passer, Dylan or whoever's in there, rather well. So that's a good sign.
So what do you think has made them better at pass protecting? Like, what are they doing differently? What are they doing better? Are they passing off the stunts better? Are they keeping more guys into protection? Is it fundamental their techniques? What do you see?
Well, I think their techniques has improved. Another year with Coach Raiola has helped them.
What about the run game? It doesn't seem like we're able to run the ball quite as well. It's kind of like we got better in one area but couldn't quite maintain in the other, so to speak. What could they do better to knock people backwards, be more physical in the run game?
Well, just that, be more physical and knock the snot out of somebody when you make contact with them.
I like that. In my next meeting, whenever I coach again, I'm just going to say, knock the snot out of somebody. That's going to be it's going to be my lead line. I like that a lot. It's that mentality. It's that attitude. It's just that demeanor that you play with. All right, man.
Be aggressive.
Yeah. So you've been around Donovan Raiola, the offensive line coach, I would imagine, at least a little bit. What are your thoughts? What are your impressions of him so far?
Oh, I like him. I think that, he's definitely improved the offensive line from what it was since he's been here. And he keeps after them. I mean, when they mess up, he's in their grill. And I like to see that.
So, all right, you're one of the main guys, if not maybe the main guy, who keeps us former players connected. You have an email list of Lord knows how many former players' emails, and you know, when something's going on or something major, you update us all. So out of curiosity, and if you don't want to tell me, that's totally cool, but I'm curious, how many former players' emails do you have in this email list?
About 1,300.
Well, that's a decent amount. Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
What prompted you to start this?
Well, actually, and some people have heard it before, but in 2008, Oklahoma invited us down there for the Game of the Century reunion. And for those who don't know what the Game of the Century is in 1971, Nebraska played Oklahoma down there, and it was a game that definitely lived up to its billing. We defeated them 35-31, but yet they had had the kindness, courtesy to have a reunion for us in 2008. About I think it was 37 years after the game was played, because nothing had ever been done to highlight that game. So we went down there, and my jaw was on the floor. When I saw what they did for their former players, I mean, their former players all knew each other, knew the names of their wives, their kids, where they lived. And we didn't know anything about any of us. And there were about, only about 15 of us. About Oklahoma had 60 of their players show up. So I thought, well, this isn't right, because we were pretty good too. And so I decided, I thought, what can I do to bring the guys back into the fold? And I decided, well, I'll start doing emails. So I started out with about 15 emails, and through the years, built it up to about 600. Finally, in I think it was 2018, the university agreed to give us their list. So it's about 1,300 now.
So you do the email list, you do former players' tailgates before the games on Saturdays, especially the home games. And I've seen you out there setting up tables and setting up everything. And so, first of all, I want to say thank you for everything you do for the former players. I do know you were a little bit frustrated with the previous regime, thinking, you know, kind of feeling like they didn't exactly treat all former players exactly the way they should be treated. Fast forward to now. All right. How do you feel the progress in that department has been?
It's been good. We, of course, the new athletic director is responsible for that, Troy Dan. And then he has a chief operating officer by the name of Haven Fields that he hired. And Haven has really helped us out too. He's got us a room up in the old football offices in the Osborne building. And we have our tailgates up there now instead of out in some tent. You know, we started across the railroad tracks in what we used to call Northern Siberia, because when the wind starts or comes sweeping down the plain, it was really cold over there, and it was also hot some days. But now we're in air-conditioned comfort, and they provided a wonderful smorgasbord for us each Saturday. So it's been great.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right, so you mentioned the game of the century, 1971, number one, Nebraska, number two, Oklahoma. By the way, a lot of people think that Oklahoma team may be the greatest team to not win a national championship in college football history. That was their only loss this year. Nebraska pretty much destroyed everybody else, destroyed Alabama to win the national championship in the bowl game and Bear Bryant. Oklahoma actually went on to destroy Auburn, who was like number two or three in the country, by almost 3 touchdowns. And so you guys both ended up in their bowl game. You guys both ended up number one and two in the country at the end of the year. What was it like that day? Because I've seen clips, I've watched the game, the atmosphere, the electricity, the fans. What was it like to be on the field that day?
Oh, it was great, you know. Our attitude was, well, you know, it's another day at the ranch. Let's go out and get it done. And that's what happened.
What was it like playing with guys like Jerry Taggi, Rich Glover, and Johnny Rogers?
Tremendous talent. We were loaded in 70 and 71 and actually in 72. I think the second, third, and fourth teams could have made a good run through the Big Eight. We were that talented. I mean, there wasn't a lot of difference between the first and second and third teams. So we just had, and one thing I always felt is I never wanted to get hurt, because you always heard the footsteps of the guy that was playing behind you. And if he got in there, you might not get back in there real soon. So
I've always wanted to ask.
That was a lot of incentive to do best.
I'll never forget. There was a game. Peyton Manning was supposed to come out at the end of the game for the Broncos. It was a huge lead. And his backup, I don't even remember who the backup was, starts to jog on the field. There's like 1 minute left. They're up by like a bazillion. And Peyton Manning waves him off, and he wouldn't even let him on the field. even in a blowout situation when he was completely healthy. It was just, it was different back then, all right, in a very positive type manner. All right, Red, talk to me, because you're one of the guys who benefited from Husker Power, Boyd Epley, getting in the weight room. Back in an era when people actually thought it would make you too tight, unathletic, and lifting weights was actually had a negative stigma with it when it came along to sports. So what made you buy into what Boyd Epley was saying, that it could actually make you better instead of hurting you? Because if you're wrong, it can have the opposite effect. So what got you to buy into lifting weights in a time and an era when it was not thought of to be a good thing for an athlete?
Well, I had to a revelation about the second or third day of practice when I was a freshman. We were out. I was in the huddle, and there was Jerry Taggi, a quarterback, and I was 6 foot, 185 pounds. I looked over at Jerry, who was the quarterback, at 6'2 and 220 pounds, and I said, thought to myself, something's dreadfully wrong here. I should be weighing at least as much as he did. And of course, I couldn't get any taller, and never did. But that was kind of a defining moment for me. And fortunately, Boyd was just starting out then, and he knew a lot about strength conditioning and weightlifting and things like that. So I just kind of started following him around the weight room and kind of more or less lived in the weight room for 3 or 4 years and got up to about 235 pounds for one season. And then I dropped back down to 230. So I knew I had to get stronger and bigger to have a chance to play against the competition that we encountered. And Boyd, I couldn't have done it without Boyd Epley. And it really helped get him a position there when they saw this guy walk on, not a lot of talent, got in there and worked hard and got a lot better. And so they decided to hire Boyd after that.
Yeah, man, pretty inspirational story. Went from walk-on to two-time national champion and one of the key cogs in keeping all of his former players connected. Here's something I've always wanted to ask somebody who played specifically, not just in the game of the century, but back when there were breakaway jerseys, tearaway jerseys, because I watched that game of the century and I see Jerry Taggi's like entire shoulder pad exposed and I see just gigantic holes in the jerseys. And so, couple of questions. What was it like playing in an era where jerseys could literally just be torn off? And how much harder was it for you offensive linemen to hold us defensive linemen knowing our jersey would just break away? How was that, Red?
Well, it was just the backs and receivers
wore those. All right.
And they actually, if I remember correctly, they only Ward for that specific games, and it was just Jerry Taggi and Van Brownson, the quarterbacks, and let's see, I don't think the fullbacks wore them. The I-backs, Jeff Kenny and Gary Dixon had them, and of course Johnny the Jet and some of the split ends had them too. But we couldn't hold, and of course we never did.
Uh-huh.
But when I was playing, you had to keep your fists or your arms in. You could not reach out and grab or hold any of them. So consequently, if you watch those games back then, the game was played a lot lower to the ground because we were always trying to go after the defensive man's knees or their hips or something to get them down. We couldn't just grab on to them and hold on for dear life like they do now. So
you heard it right here.
It was a lot different.
You heard it right here. Old lineman, just grab on and hold on for dear life. It's finally been admitted publicly. I appreciate you coming on today and admitting that, Red.
Well, got to tell the truth.
All right, Red, I want to thank you.
And we,
yeah.
we actually led with our helmet all the time. You led with your head. You tried to put it right in the guy's numbers, or sometimes you'd slip over and use your shoulder. But, yeah, and our helmets weren't nearly as good either. So that's why we all talk rather stupidly, I should say, nowadays.
Oh, you've done a great job. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you do, and thank you for taking the time to join me today, Mike.
Okay, you bet.
All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.